What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. This is In the Post, 10:15 on a Wednesday night, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight. Again, going In the Post after the Sixers loss once again to the Brooklyn Nets, 127-124, and we know the score wasn't even that close. Landry Shamet saved things in the clutch down the stretch, knocking down a couple of three-pointers, but it wasn't enough as the Philadelphia 76ers dropped their record to 19-10, and they simply seem to have a problem with the Brooklyn Nets, and we can discuss it until midnight here on In the Post. Let me give out the numbers to start things off right away, 610-632-0975. Now, no Jimmy Butler tonight, no Mike Muscala tonight, both down due to injury. We know the groin strain for Jimmy Butler, and for Mike Muscala, just out a little bit, you know, just dealing with a few things, and that these things crop up throughout the season. And we've talked about it in the past where this team may not be deep enough right now to compete like you want them to in the Eastern Conference. Now, you heard Celts talk about how the Milwaukee Bucks did fall tonight, so they keep pace with the Bucks, only two games. They're even up in terms of their games back of the Toronto Raptors, and the Raptors face the Golden State Warriors tonight minus Kawhi Leonard. So you would believe that the Toronto Raptors are going to lose the game tonight. Sixers don't really lose any ground. That said, when you're playing against a team, albeit a very competitive team, they play very well for Kenny Atkinson. I don't know how many times I have to say it. It's almost like the Brett Brown rebuild teams where you say they play hard for the head coach. And they do play hard for the Nets players, do play hard, and you give up 39 to Spencer Dinwiddie. Right? We all know his name by now, but you give up 39 to Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench. Allen Crabbe, D'Angelo Russell, your starting backcourt, Joe Harris, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, your front court at the forward positions, and Jared Allen at the center spot. 39 points for Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench. Instant offense. The Sixers guards give up too many points to many, many, many guards. We've already seen it from Devin Booker, Spencer Dinwiddie tonight. We've seen it on and on and on with this basketball team where they have trouble stopping the guards on a perimeter. Now, we know J.J. Redick, not a defensive stopper. A very good team defender, but overall, not a very good defensive stopper. So that's where you miss Jimmy Butler on a night like tonight. And even, I know he's in Minnesota, since you don't have Markelle Fultz, Robert Covington. Kemba Walker goes for 60. He gave Jimmy Butler 60, so you can't really sit there and give him that type of credit. But we know that he's a better defender than Landry Shamet, J.J. Redick, T.J. McConnell, Shake Milton. You know they're better than those guys right there. That said, you give credit to Spencer Dinwiddie, 11 of 18 in 30 minutes off the bench, 4 of 6 from behind the three-point line. Couple of tough ones, but some open ones as well. Getting to the free throw line 14 times tonight, knocking down 13 of the 14 for his 39 points in the win for Brooklyn. It's a long season, 82 games. You're going to have slip-ups like this. And again, mentioning overall, the Milwaukee Bucks losing to the Indiana Pacers tonight, and Indiana is good, and I believe Victor Oladipo did return. Let me just make sure he did. He had 12 points for them. The overall point is, you're going to have tough nights against certain teams where they just give you the business. Tonight, the Brooklyn Nets gave you the business. Two other times in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Nets have given the Sixers the business. They need it for their only win, their lone win against Brooklyn. They needed a Jimmy Butler step back, tough contested Rondae Hollis-Jefferson contested jumper to secure the win on the road for the 76ers. They just simply have trouble playing the Brooklyn Nets. Now, when you look at the box score for the 76ers, again, you just heard Celts lay it out, speaking with Tom McGinnis as well on the Sixers broadcast on the Sixers radio network. 33-17 for Embiid, 12 of 18 from the floor, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 2 of 3 from behind the three-point line, a big one in the fourth quarter, 17 rebounds again, 14 defensive, 3 offensive, 6 turnovers. So you saw a couple of times where the blitz just came at him. They double teamed him, and he got too. He just got caught up too much in turning the ball over too easy. Something that we've seen from time to time, thinking he's getting better, and overall he is getting better at it and recognizing when the double team is coming in and getting rid of the ball quicker. But tonight, 6 turnovers, that will not help you, especially when you give up 17 turnovers, 20 points off of those turnovers for the 76ers, the Brooklyn Nets getting 20 points off of those 17 turnovers. I mean, it's problematic. Now, you got 23 off of their 17, but when they go to the free throw line 43 times, making 37 of them to your 16 attempts, that's a tough way to win. Yes, you have 15 more shots tonight. Okay, yes, you were 50 of 91 for 55% from the floor, 54.9. 51.4, though, for them, 38 of 74. Pretty even. They shot 50% from the three-point line, 12 of 28 for you, 42.9%. But the discrepancy there, okay, 25 points at the free throw line. 25 points at the free throw line for Brooklyn, the advantage. That's tough to win. Tough to win that way. They have to be better. Yes, you miss Jimmy Butler. You need more from J.J. Redick, who struggled tonight, 1 of 7 from behind the three-point line, 5 of 15 from the floor in 37 minutes. They struggle against the Brooklyn Nets. Why do they struggle so much against the Brooklyn Nets? Let's talk about it here in the post until midnight. If you're leaving the center and you want to vent your frustration or say, you know what, Devon, it's not that big a deal. They just have a tough time against the Brooklyn Nets. It is what it is. Let's just move on. Get ready for Indiana, even though they just knocked off Milwaukee in Indiana tonight in a big way. Let's just get ready for Indiana. Shift the focus. Hopefully Jimmy Butler will be back. I don't want him back if his groin strain is not ready to go. Leave him alone. Let him sit. And you can rebound, get the win, back at home on Friday before you hit the road for two. 610-632-0975. Sixers fall tonight, 124-127. Brooklyn Nets get the win. Spencer Dinwiddie goes nuts. And the 76ers are now 19-10 in the Eastern Conference. 3 games back of the Toronto Raptors, who get ready to play the Golden State Warriors tonight, so they could wind up being back a little closer to me and lose no ground if Toronto falls on the road to the Golden State Warriors. 610-632-0975. Again, if you're leaving the center or if you're at home in the car, whatever it might be, and you want to voice your frustration to tonight's loss again, Sixers fall to the Brooklyn Nets 127-124 at home. Home record now sits at 14-2. They're 2 losses to teams under 500. The Cleveland Cavaliers at 7-21 and the Brooklyn Nets 11-18. But they played the Sixers very well, and they've now won 3 straight. It's always a tough one against the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know why. I do not know why. 610-632-0975. Let's start off in the post with Dennis and Langhorne on 97.5. What's up, Dennis?
Yo, Devon, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Just leaving the game. Yo, man, I know you're kind of giving it like, oh, it's just the Nets. These games happen every time.
Saying that, but they struggle against this team.
But Devon, I don't care about that, man. Like, that's an excuse. When we have an excuse and we make an excuse, we don't take extreme ownership, right? That's an excuse that they should not lose to the Brooklyn Nets. I don't care if it's without Jimmy Butler or Muscala. I was down there tonight. I watched it live, man. So, like, when you're at the game and you see it live and you see Joel Embiid get very frustrated at Brett Brown and his facial expressions and his body language, that's the problem. This isn't just about tonight's time. This is 6 years that Brett Brown has run the same offense and hasn't made any changes. One, that I can tell you this for a prime example why it's true, is when Joel Embiid comes out the game tonight and Amir Johnson comes in, he's shooting threes just like Joel is, on the top of the key, and there's no center there to get the offensive rebound. And there's no one under the net. Like, it's a major problem. Brett runs up and down that sideline for 48 minutes, making me want to have a heart attack, man. He gets me stressed out watching him on the sideline. Can you imagine his players? That, to me, is that Joel Embiid right now, with the comment he said, we are letting the
guards look like Hall of Famers after the game tonight.
Yeah, Joel Embiid said the same thing. Why do we make guards look like Hall of Famers? And real fast, let me clean it up real fast, Dennis. Yes, I said these things happen. However, my point was these things happen, but you cannot keep losing to the Brooklyn Nets. There's something there with this team that they struggle with. And I'm not just talking about the guard play. Yes, D'Angelo Russell also went off in another game. Spencer Dinwiddie went off in another game. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had a nice game in the third one. So I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm pointing out, yes, this happened. Hold on. Yes, these things happen. They cannot keep losing to these teams like this. They cannot, especially when they are better than that basketball team. Even without Jimmy Butler, you have to come away with the win tonight.
And, dude, you play basketball. You know it, man. So my point is this. Why do you think these guards keep scoring points on us? Because Ben Simmons is not a point guard. He's on the top of the key guarding guards, and he's 6'10". Like, if you play basketball and you know basketball, I don't care, Magic Johnson. That's Magic Johnson. He's one in a million. Ben Simmons needs to be by the rim. He cannot shoot. If he's not going to shoot, they collapse. And when they collapse, everything is just, there's no space.
No, and it's going to be like that until he shoots. Dennis, thanks for the call. 610-632-0975. I'm not making any excuses for this basketball team. This is an unacceptable loss again. Yes, they're 19-10. They're sitting pretty, right? Top of the Eastern Conference. It all looks good. You know what will look even better? 20-9. That's what would have looked good tonight. 20-9. 15-1 at home. That would have looked fantastic on the Sixers' record. Unfortunately, they lost tonight to the Brooklyn Nets, 127-124 at home. They sit at 19-10. 610-632-0975. You just heard Dennis start things off in the post. You can get your chance on the phones here as well. 610-632-0975. What happened tonight? Why do they struggle against the Brooklyn Nets? And why can they not stop guards from exploding against their defense? 610-632-0975. Quick break. We come back. We run for a little bit right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until midnight. We go in the post as the Sixers fall 127-124 to the Brooklyn Nets at home. Record now stands at 19-10. 11-18 for the Brooklyn Nets, but most importantly, these two teams, three games head up. The Brooklyn Nets have outplayed the Philadelphia 76ers. They need it, the Sixers, in their lone win, a Jimmy Butler buzzer beater, step back, well defended, in order to walk out of Brooklyn with the victory. And tonight, no such luck. Again, 127-124. Why so much trouble against the Brooklyn Nets? You would think an 11-18 team, while feisty as they are, very pesky, the 76ers are a better basketball team, even with Jimmy Butler not in the lineup. You still have Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, who go for 55 points and 25 rebounds, 13 assists on the night. You would think that's good enough with J.J. Redick also in the lineup, but he only gives you 11, struggling tonight, 5 of 15 from the floor, 1 of 7 overall from behind a three-point line. Biggest lead on the evening, Nets 13. Sixers were up by 9 at one point, and the Nets came back, and they never really gave it back, and they walked away from the arena tonight at the center with the victory, 127-124. Once again, just looking at the free throw discrepancy. Let me run that to you, run it by you again in case people are just tuning in and didn't realize what happened tonight. The penetration into the lane, the way they were able to just get in there at will tonight. The Nets, 37 of 43 from the free throw line. Your Philadelphia 76ers, 12 of 16. Nope. You only lost by 3, but it wasn't even that close. Landry Shamet had to hit a couple of threes in late in the fourth quarter to make it respectable. And the same for Amir Johnson getting an easy layup. Not an easy layup, but a layup off of a forced, purposely missed free throw by Landry Shamet. Gotta do better. You have to do better against these teams. Pile these wins up. As I said to Dennis and Langhorne when he called in to start things off, you are going to lose games against bad teams from time to time. It happens. It's the NBA. It's a long season, 82 games. But for some reason, they cannot play this basketball team in particular. Why? And they cannot stop guards. Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench for the Nets tonight, 30 minutes and 28 seconds, 11 of 18 from the floor, 4 of 16 from behind the three-point line. Where he really got you was at the free throw line. 13 of 14 for Spencer Dinwiddie tonight. 13 of 14 for Spencer Dinwiddie tonight. Okay? And the Sixers were 12 of 16 for the entire game. He basically outshot the 76ers from the free throw line. Let's go to the phones, 610-632-0975. If you're leaving the center, want to tell us what you thought? We're here until midnight right here on The Fanatic. Howard in Newtown Square is in the post on The Fanatic. What's up, Howard?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I've been doing better, man. They needed to come away with this win tonight.
Yeah, sure. I have two quick points. First, the Sixers shooting allowed below 500 team to pick up a win against them. They need to improve their record, improve their resume, and go against the elite team and compete with them.
Mm-hmm.
The second point here, Brett Brown, this is the 10th time Sixers have faced the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
He should have figured out how to play the guys. But I said on the other time on a quarter show earlier this month or last month,
yep.
In the last month,
uh-huh.
I said Brett Brown, he's a very good teacher, but he's not a coach that Sixers need to push the team up the level to compete with other teams.
Well, that's the one thing, Howard, that's the one thing that goes against him, man. A lot of times where people like to talk about how, you know, when these types of games happen, the criticism is going to come down on him because of exactly what you're talking about. The fact that he's a great teacher, he's a good player developer. But when it comes to it down the stretch, when it really gets into it, you have these stars and you're supposed to be great. Can he get you over the hump?
He can get six over the hump. So he's a good teacher. He should be a player development coach, and they bring a progressive coach that will take the team to compete. Because you can't keep making the same mistake over and over. You mismatching the players. It's very frustrating. For every time Sixers win, they have to struggle to win. You know, so that's very frustrating.
No, it is frustrating at times, Howard. Thanks for the call. And well, again, we're talking about a 19-10 team, so we're 29 games in on the season. A lot of basketball to be played, but dropping games like this, it is frustrating, especially when you watch it and how it plays out. The fact that, again, the defense comes up small. You get up 127 points to the Brooklyn Nets, okay? Yes, they can score. I get it. I get that they can score. Of 127 points to the Brooklyn Nets. Not supposed to happen. It is not. Okay? The Brooklyn Nets on the season average 108, but they give up 110. You gave them 127 tonight at home. I do not care that Jimmy Butler was not on the floor. You have good enough defenders, we think, to play them a specific way. And if you see that someone like Spencer Dinwiddie has it going, what are you doing defensively to try to stop him? 20 from Allen Crabbe. He had it going on. Again, they were 14 to 28 from behind the three-point line, shooting 50%. That's a very good percentage. Two more makes than the Sixers. The Sixers had 12 more made field goals, but again, the discrepancy at the free throw line really hurt them. 610-632-0975. CJ is actually leaving the center, joining us in the post. What's going on, CJ?
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
What's happening, man?
Not much, man. That ride back to Baltimore is a lot better when we went.
Oh, man, I know it, man. Sorry about that. Sorry we couldn't do more for you.
Yeah, man, I want to talk about a couple of things. First thing is, man, Brett Brown, I'm a big supporter of him, but this game just baffled me. And it's not, you know, the things that most people talk about, but at the 11-minute mark of the third quarter, the Nets were in the penalty.
Yep.
Why didn't Joel just feast? I mean, why are we just not force-feeding him the ball right there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. At the 11-minute mark, there's no way we should lose that quarter.
Nope.
They're in the penalty.
You're talking about the third quarter?
Go to the free throw line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time they touch us, we go to the free throw line. It just doesn't make sense for Joel to have 23 at halftime and at the end of the third quarter had 26. That just should not happen whatsoever. And I'm a big Brown supporter, but at some point you got to scrap what you're doing and say, listen, this is what we need to do. I mean, that's just coaching 101. You know, you take advantage of what the game is presenting right there. Now, I do have one criticism, or not criticism, but I just really want to ask you to paint on this. I'm looking at Joel this year, and, you know, everybody talked about his offensive performances and showing fatigue. It doesn't look like he's fatigued on the offensive end, but on the defensive end, I just don't see Joel having the impact that he's had in the past years. I've not seen that one great defensive game from him all year. It looks like a layup line, and his presence does make a difference. Don't get me wrong there. When he's in a game, teams attack the basket a lot less. But when he is in a game and they attack, I just see him looking more than reacting and trying to go at the shot. And maybe it's something that Brett's telling him because our backup five situation isn't that good, especially tonight. But, I mean, for him to talk about winning Defensive Player of the Year, I mean, right now he's not performing anywhere near that level. So just wanted to get your thoughts on those things.
No problem, man. A safe drive back to Baltimore, CJ. And defensively, when you look at the numbers overall, he is still impactful on the floor, and it's a big difference. Well, when he's on the floor as a team overall and what they're able to do to pick up those W's, there are times, CJ, I agree with you, where he simply looks a step slow, if you will. And maybe that is fatigue a little bit, the conditioning. It's No, his conditioning is much, much better. So maybe it's just the fatigue overall. And at that particular point of the game, and you know how it always is, CJ, no matter what. You're tired, but you get that energy. That energy picks up when you have the ball in your hands, specifically, and you can go out there and do some work. Even in pickup basketball, you know how it goes. You're super tired, but when it's time for you to get that ball in the offensive end, you're ready to roll. No different for these NBA players. It's the same thing. And from time to time, we do see that with Joel Embiid overall, where he is and more engaged offensively than he is defensively. I will agree with you on that. 610-632-0975. Again, Sixers fall 127-124 at home against the Brooklyn Nets. Season series after three games, Nets 2, Sixers 1, and the one that the 76ers got, albeit memorable, Jimmy Butler knocking down a contested step back three to win the game in Brooklyn. But that's the type of games it has been these last two for the Sixers and the Nets. Remember that first one on that Sunday, it was a rout, a blowout. 28 turnovers for the Sixers on that Sunday. They have trouble with the Nets. Why? Adam in Germantown joins us in the post. Adam, what's going on?
Spencer Dinwiddie is going on.
39.
Oh, 4-for-6 from 3. 13-for-14 from the free throw line. And down the stretch, Embiid on a switch. I was like, what's Dinwiddie going to do? 2 seconds on the shot clock. Goes underneath the basket and scores. I was like, oh, my God. Put Spencer Dinwiddie in the All-Star game, baby. Oh, my God. If you're in Brooklyn tonight, it's Wednesday Night Fever. And for all you people who don't understand that, man, if you've never seen Saturday Night Fever, it's a story of Brooklyn youth growing up, and John Travolta was a star. And tonight, Spencer Dinwiddie was John Travolta.
Well, he was fantastic tonight, man. And again, the Brooklyn Nets overall were fantastic against this basketball team, just giving them trouble. They saw something. They saw an opportunity where they can get to the basket pretty much any time they wanted, no matter who was in front of them tonight, Adam. And they did it at will. Again, just that the discrepancy at the free throw line is just so glaring. 37-43 for Brooklyn, 12-16 for the Sixers tonight. Unacceptable.
And I just want to say, does anyone realize that they run? I mean, I know this shows my age, but they run Doug Moe's motion offense. Scott Atkinson runs Doug Moe's Denver. I mean, people won't remember, but it's a motion offense where everybody moves without the ball.
So few teams have players that move without the ball. This team, everybody moves without the ball.
Well, they do, man, and they keep that motion offense going. Adam, thanks for the call. And as a result, they were able to have a pretty good offensive night to the tune of 127 points to the Sixers, 124. Fast break opportunities, the Sixers 16-7. That's the advantage for the Sixers. In the paint, the Sixers, again, dominated by 18, 64-46. 19-6 second chance points, but you keep going back and circling that free throw percentage right there, 86% for the Brooklyn Nets, 37-43. My goodness. I mean, again, Spencer Dinwiddie, 13-14 from the free throw line. Sixers, 12-16 from the free throw line combined as a team. And then off the bench, of course, Spencer Dinwiddie with the 39. Look at the bench output that they got from him, 39, 7 from Ed Davis, really good minutes, 29-43 for Ed Davis, 13 for Karuks, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Damari Carroll, 6, Jared Dudley, 5. Those two guys were 2 of 7 from the field, but they just gave him good minutes. Even though the shots weren't falling, Jared Dudley looks super old now. I'm a big Jared Dudley guy. He's been around the league forever. Right? He gave you 18 minutes and 41 seconds for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. What is he doing out there? Helping them get that win. A plus 2. Damari Carroll, plus 19. Plus 15 for Spencer Dinwiddie. The bench is where it was for the Brooklyn Nets tonight, helping them secure this win. 610-632-0975. Theo and Camden is next on the Fanatic. What's going on, man? You're in the post.
Oh, God, man. It's just so many things.
Go for
it. I mean, this Sixers team, if they don't make 15 three-pointers or make 20-plus foul shots from the line, they struggle. I mean, that's just the way this team is built. I think my biggest issue, everybody's making this big deal about Joel Embiid and his comments regarding Jimmy Butler. I think the real issue is Ben Simmons. And what we saw tonight late in the game, you turn the ball over twice because essentially you're forcing Ben Simmons to play power forward because he has a lot of late game turnovers and he doesn't really do well handling the ball. And with him in the post, Joel can't really get in the post. And with Ben not really being a power forward, he doesn't know how to get his body on guys. So the last two turnovers to him were the result of
him
not being able to put a body on the guy.
And just, let's not forget about the entry passes that they can't make sometimes to get the ball to him when he does have good post position.
That's been my problem with the whole quote unquote process the entire time. I've been calling for a couple years, complaining about, at the end of the day, you have to put together a complete team, and the process got them good athletic guys, but there's so many holes in some of their games, it's hard to piece them together. I mean, like J.J. Redick, he gives you a lot of outside shooting, but if he's not really shooting the ball very well, he has a lot of late game turnovers.
And when you talk about building
bad mistakes in
building a team, Theo, that's where it goes to, all right, number one, we have to start with Markel Fultz because we don't know who he is as of yet. Then you can go to Pocečnić, who they traded back in the first round to get to 25, where Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart go off the board in the second round.
That's the Villanova guy that they should have got. Josh Hart, This is the other thing that these kids need to understand. Like Josh Hart played four years at Villanova.
He played all four.
He also was on the NCAA championship team. Now you compare that to Ben Simmons and Markel Fultz. They were the best players in college basketball by being essentially the number one pick, and both of them played for teams that they didn't even get to the NCAA tournament. Ben's team, I mean, the SEC was weak. I saw them beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt made it to the tournament, and that was only one of, I think, three teams that made it in the SEC that year, and LSU didn't. I mean,
yeah, but he's still, Theo, thanks for the call, man. We got to get ready to go to a quick break. He was still a very good player in college, and he earned that spot to be taken at number one without question, no question about it. I get it that they had losing records, and we can point out a whole bunch of things. He earned it. Now, it's about the other things as well, like we talked about. I don't know that Josh Hart would have had success here, but I would like to think that he would. Kyle Kuzma, I know they like Kyle Kuzma, but they also like Pasechnich for whatever reason. And Brian Colangelo traded back in, selected him. He's still overseas. Who knows if he ever comes over? And if he does, he's going to be a backup center. Jonah Bolden, right now playing for the Bluecoats. And you got to hit on these picks. You have to. You can't hit on them all. I know that, but to the point that Theo's making, you need some athleticism and things. You miss Zaire Smith right now with his athleticism, potentially some defense as well. 610-632-0975. We are in the post until midnight. Sixers fall 127-124, dropping their record to 19-10. Why do they struggle against the Brooklyn Nets? We'll continue the conversation after this quick break right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fun Givens.
Give it up.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, indeed. 11:02, 97.5 The Fanatic. We are going in the post until midnight. Sixers take an L to the Brooklyn Nets. It's all too normal with them. 127-124 tonight at the center. Spencer Dinwiddie goes off. Gave him 39 tonight. He hung 39 on the Sixers tonight off the bench. Very effective. Got to the free throw line 14 times. Did Spencer Dinwiddie, converting 13 of them. The Philadelphia 76ers, they got to the free throw line a total of 16 times. 12 of 16 from the free throw line. Big discrepancy there for the team. 37-43 for the Brooklyn Nets. Got to the free throw line 43 times. Sixers, 16. Who was the more aggressive team? Obviously, it was the Brooklyn Nets. And as a result, the Sixers fall tonight to that Brooklyn Nets team, 127-124 at home, now 19-10 on the season. The Milwaukee Bucks, they also lost tonight. So you remain tied with them in terms of games back of the Toronto Raptors, who lead the Eastern Conference. Right now, the Raptors taking on the Golden State Warriors, up by 10 as we speak. In Golden State. 610-632-0975. The bench overall just dominated the Sixers bench with the 39 from Dinwiddie, 13 from Karuks. Therefore, the Brooklyn Nets and 17 from TJ McConnell off the bench, 8 of 10 from the floor. How about that for TJ tonight? Solid floor game, 4 assists to go along with the 17 points, 10 points for Landry Shamet, although a few of those 3-pointers came at the end. He got a free throw as well, foul on a 3-point attempt. So not much overall in terms of competition from the bench unit for the Sixers versus the bench unit of the Brooklyn Nets, thanks to the 39 for Spencer Dinwiddie. In his first career start, Furkan Korkmaz gives you 18 points, 8 of 14 from the floor for the second year swingman in 34 minutes and 40 seconds. Embiid, again, dominant performance when he did have the opportunity to do so. Sometimes he looked a little lax. 33 points, 17 rebounds, 6 turnovers for the big fella. Tonight, getting to the free throw line 8 times, knocking down 7. Ben Simmons, 32 minutes and 24 seconds, 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 22 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 block shots, 3 turnovers. Solid stat line across the board, but it wasn't enough as the Sixers fall by 3, 127-124. Let's go in the post with Tyreek in North Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, Reek?
What's going on, Devon?
How you feeling, man?
Hey, man, I ain't even going to talk about Ben Simmons tonight.
Yeah.
I don't like him, but I'm not going to say. I just want to know why Brett Brown ran those 2 plays for him down the stretch when we were trying to come back. When Korkmaz tried to pass on the ball in the post.
Yeah, and it got stolen.
Got a little post presence down there already. Get the ball to Joel.
I agree.
That turned it around where the comeback was over, like. 2 turnovers down the stretch. Oh, I just didn't understand that.
No, I agree. You go to your best player, you go for the big fella. Maybe he felt like he had a mismatch on the block, and that's why he wanted to go there. And I understand you can say, well, Embiid's been dominating everybody, so he's also right. Going to have a mismatch. But I would assume with the way he was handling the double teams, when the 6 turnovers, maybe he just felt like Ben was a little bit quicker, decisive with what he wanted to do when he did have it on the block.
At that time, though, that's when Joel just made the 3, just scored down a low post.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't turning the ball over. You go to Ben Simmons, he get the ball down there. He might turn it over too, or he's just going to pass it out.
No, he might. Yeah, but he was. Yeah, but he was scoring. I mean, listen, you know, I know how you feel, but you saw he was scoring. He was scoring pretty easily tonight.
Yeah, but at that time of the game, I don't even think he scored in a while.
No, he didn't. And maybe that's what the whole thing was. Let me try to get Ben something, too. And I know, don't do that. Don't force feed it. Go to your big fella. Yeah, let him go to work. I hear you, man. Right. This is the thing. When you have so many good players on your team and you got to try to find a way to keep them all engaged, keep them involved, winning trumps everything. So you would hope that it doesn't matter which one gets it.
Right.
But Brett Brown has to really figure out and try to divvy it up as to who gets it, because he has to deal with the whatever that he might get from either one of them if they don't touch the rock.
If you want to give Ben the ball, let him get it another way. Give him the ball up at the key or up at the three-point line, because four times trying to pass it to him, you seen the first time that wasn't working.
Yeah.
You went right back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, guys have to be better too, Reek, with the simple entry pass, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Reek. 610-632-0975. That's the good gift and the curse about having good players, man. You got to find a way to get everybody a touch, even down the stretch. Again, maybe Brett just looked at the matchup that Ben had and said, I like this better. Let me try to get him going. He's going to go quicker. He's more decisive with his. He can get that deep post position, go right up, righty, lefty, whatever one it needs to be to get that quick lay-in and get them that quick bucket. You saw from time to time they started pressing. How about that, right? They started pressing and picking up full court with TJ McConnell in the game. So I'm guessing, if Reek is asking like he did, I'm guessing that's what it was. Quicker, more indecisive moves to the basket for Ben Simmons, a little deeper post position. And even if he got it and was able to just face up and go quick, boom, that he felt like, okay, I can go that route. I'll get Joe his, but let me just get Ben because we need more time. We need to go faster. Just my guess. I'm just guessing. 610-632-0975-127-124. The Brooklyn Nets coming to Philadelphia into the center. Knock off the Sixers tonight. 127-124. Sixers record now 19-10 on the season. Coach Shiv and Drexel Hill is in the post. What's up, Coach?
Hey, man. Hey, Devon. I enjoy your show, man.
Thank you so much.
I enjoy listening to your show. I called in once before, but I got a chance to get in. I'm doing third shift, and I just walked in work. I listen to this. I listen to you all the way out here, and I finally get home when I'm walking in the door to work. But can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear, man.
Yeah, that's only like one or two points. One thing is, it's hard to believe we give up a team like New Jersey. We give up so many points. But then I look at Brett Brown. He gives up so many possessions. When you shoot the ball after one or two passes, you keep giving the team more possessions, and you're allowing them to get into a rhythm because they have so many possessions. We get up 15 points, and nothing changes. He keeps shooting the ball two or three passes, shots up. And you play against Brett Brown, you're always going to be in it because we look good when we're knocking down threes. But when we're missing, he just keeps firing them up. He keeps letting them guys fire up quick shots. And then those teams eventually get into a rhythm, and they're all professionals. Sooner or later, they're going to start making them shots. Then the other point is, it pisses me off watching his team. He has Embiid out there. He sets a million screens at the elbow, on the left wing.
Yeah.
He's setting screens after screens after screens for other guys to get off. And this is the dude who stirs our coffee. This is the dude who, you know, he's our go-to guy.
Right.
And he sits two or three screens. Sometimes he doesn't even get into the paint on an offensive possession.
Because
he's over there on that left elbow setting two or three screens for JJ, setting screens for shooters. And he never even gets in the paint. And it's possession after possession after possession. I think sometimes he just gets pissed and he starts jacking up threes.
Well, yeah, of course he does. You know that. I mean, you've seen it so many times, Coach, where you see him and you're like, all right, he's frustrated. He gets a touch. He's like, I'm firing this one up because I've done everything else for everyone. Everyone, where's mine? So, yeah, I get that sense as well. Yep.
I hate that, man. I hate that.
Yeah, but you do have to set those screens for JJ to get him those good looks because that's that's what he's best at, coming off of those curls, making people work. And we've seen it so many times too, Coach, where he does come around those curls and he locates Joel on that roll to the basket and he gets either a dunk, a layup, or he gets to the free throw line. So it is beneficial.
I do agree, and the play does work. But I think we go to it too much.
Okay, yeah, I mean, a lot of people point out the dribble handoff is just way too much.
That's way too much. It's not balanced. You got to have, your offense has to have balance. And everything you do, you got to have some balance. And it seems like they go to that set for J.J. and the shooters more so than we go to Embiid, who's the one who stirs the coffee for this team.
You do. And the only thing I ask you, Coach, sorry we had to keep it moving, is – you know, how many times are you going to dump it down there, though, without trying to get others going, too? You have to give everybody else their touches. You have good players that need shots. That's the point that Tyreek was making about Ben. Why are you going there? I'm guessing, again, because Ben needs some touches. Same for J.J. Redick. He needs his touches to get going. And as you just mentioned, Joel Embiid getting a rhythm. If he's getting that rhythm on the block, where is everybody else going to get their rhythm when it's time for him to kick it back out? I mean, I get it. Force the double team, all that. Somebody gets an open shot, you take advantage of it. I get that. But you have to find ways to get others involved too. And good coaches figure it out. Just because Jimmy Butler didn't play tonight doesn't mean they should not have won this basketball game. They should certainly have beaten the Brooklyn Nets tonight at home. Shorthanded and all. No Mike Muscala, no Jimmy Butler. You had to come away with this W tonight at the center. Brooklyn does play the Sixers very well, but so what? They play you very well, so you should get up for this game, no doubt about it. Sixers fall 127-124 to the Brooklyn Nets at the center tonight. 19-10 is the record after tonight's game. They're back at it on Friday, hosting the Indiana Pacers. At the center, Sixers and 60 with Brian Seltzer and I, of course, of Sixers.com. We will have that for Sixers and 90. We'll run to 7:30 right up until tip. Tom McGinnis on the game call. They got to bounce back. Got to bounce back. Indiana with a nice win tonight over the, let me see what the score was, over the Milwaukee Bucks. Indiana won tonight over the Milwaukee Bucks. As I scroll through, it was 113-97. A blowout for the Indiana Pacers now at 18-10. One game behind the 76ers in the fourth spot. Milwaukee 18-9. So it's going to be interesting to see 8-6 Indiana is on the road. Let me see. 8-6. They are, yes, 8-6. They're second in the, they've won five in a row, by the way, Indiana. So they come in there feeling pretty good. They get Victor Oladipo back after being out for some time. So they're going to be, I guess you can say, at full strength. And the Sixers will have their work cut out for them. Indiana's a tough out. 8-6 on the road, 10-4 at home. Half a game behind the Sixers right now, and they face off on Friday at the center, 7:30 tip, right here on the Fanatic. 610-632-0975. We're in the post. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on the game? Why do they have such trouble with the Brooklyn Nets? Why do they have such trouble with opposing guards just getting up for them and giving them so much work on the perimeter? Dribble drives, it's just too easy against the 76ers. No Jimmy Butler, I got it. No Robert Covington, I got it. But you're a good enough defensive team with Joel Embiid behind you. Ben Simmons in there as a very good defender. When TJ McConnell is in the game, he's also a decent defender, at least making people work. J.J. Redick, a nice team defender. Why the struggles against the guards? 610-632-0975. Mitch is in Phoenix joining us in the post. What's up, Mitch?
Were you at the game tonight?
No, I was not, man. I was here in studio.
Okay, let me ask you. Who guarded Dinwiddie?
Wasn't me.
I know that. So who did they have on Dinwiddie? I mean, I didn't.
They threw everybody at him tonight. They had J.J. Redick on him. T.J. McConnell was on him. Ben Simmons had a crack at him. And it's not to say he didn't score on everybody at will, but he was very effective, and they could not stop him. Even in the one-on-one situations, he was good. When they also came up and gave him those picks, when he was able to get around those picks, very crafty with the ball, getting into the lane, getting fouled, 13 of 14 from his free throw line. He just had it all working tonight, Mitch.
Yeah, a guy from L.A., he ends up on the Colorado basketball team. That's a bit unusual. And then, of course, he had a slow start in the NBA, but I think he's going to be a good player from here on out.
Yeah, he's a nice player, man. Definitely a nice player.
Now, you mentioned about the Sixers being a fairly decent defensive team. They're not a good defensive team. If you look at the stats, they're a horrible defensive team.
Yeah, and that's today's NBA. I mean, a lot of times the numbers are super inflated in how they look, and when you run the pace that they run in the league right now, it's going to be that way, no doubt about it.
Yeah, they need to pull another...
another move?
Situation. Yeah, they need to make another move. There's no doubt. No doubt. Well, they need to improve that bench, because that bench will kill them in the playoffs.
Well, listen, man, and I know it's funny. One of my best friends texted me and said, this bench is awful. Thanks for the call, Mitch. The depth that we've talked about is not going to go away until Elton Brand and company add someone else to the bench. It is. Simply is. So, I mean, that's just what it is. They need more help overall. Jimmy Butler not being there forces Furkan Korkmaz into the starting lineup. If you expect to get good minutes from him going forward, that's part of your bench right there, and he's in the starting lineup, so that's certainly a tough deal for you. What are they going to do when the 15th, that's 3 days from now, it's on Saturday, that's when you really start to hear the Trevor Ariza stuff again, because the guys who signed free agent deals are now eligible to be traded on December 15th. And a lot of people are going to be focusing on Trevor Ariza. Some of the other names that could potentially be out there. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is another name that has been linked to the 76ers lately in a three-team trade. The Houston Rockets are jumping in there as well. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has a one-year deal, so it wouldn't hurt you, but he does give you some more shooting, some more athleticism at that two-guard spot, at that wing spot. So it might not be a bad thing just to get someone like that in here. And defensively, he can give you something as well. So wouldn't be a bad move, I think, overall, if you were able to get that. It's just a matter of what has to go in order for him to come here on his one-year deal that expires at the end of the season. 610-632-0975. Neil in Philly is in the post. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. So I want to say a couple things about all these people they sound like they're down in the Sixers for tonight's loss. These things come in the NBA. It's a long season. You're going to have ups and downs. Jimmy Butler not being there is a big key. We can't defend the guards. He's a great defender on the perimeter with the pick and roll. I mean, once he gets back, I think everything's going to be kosher. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, but they've been good. We know they've been good. They've had a very good record since the trade was done for adding Jimmy Butler. And they've struggled from time to time when he was in the game as well. But a night like tonight there, Neil, yes, these games happen because there is a long season. And these are pro teams. They get up for every night. For the most part, you have enough to win this game tonight. You should have won this game. That free throw discrepancy is just a disgrace. The fact that, Neil, they got to the free throw line 43 times and the Sixers only attempted 16.
Without a doubt.
That's terrible. Big.
And J.J. Redick not hitting his jumper.
He was off tonight. He was off.
He was off, and that's key. We need him to make his shots. And I think I'd like that F. That player that started for Jimmy Butler tonight. What's his name?
Furkan Korkmaz.
I think he has a lot of potential to be a good player. I mean, you could see his stroke. I mean, he needs some help on the defensive end, but I mean, I think he has a lot of potential.
Well, we'll see, man, because now once Jimmy Butler does get back, it's just an opportunity for us to see if Furkan Korkmaz can really step in and give you some good minutes off the bench. And we'll see what he has from there. I mean, really. He looked pretty good tonight, not just outside shooting, but also when he has the opportunity to go to the basket, that little scoop layup. He likes to put the ball out there with one hand. He has to be careful with that because NBA people, they are very crafty and athletic, and they can block that shot. So, I mean, he's been pretty good. He gave a nice showing tonight. I'm encouraged by it. People are pointing out the fact that 76ers did not pick up his option. So what does that mean? We'll see in the offseason. We will see. He looks like he might be something. Looks like he might be something. Not 18 a night, not a starter in the league, but a rotational player that can give you that stretch ability out on the perimeter because he's able to knock down a jump shot or two or three or whatever it might be. So we will see overall what Furkan Korkmaz can give you once Jimmy Butler comes back. See where he is, see where he fits into the rotation. 610-632-0975. Spencer Dinwiddie tonight, 39 points off the bench for the Brooklyn Nets, and that really did the Sixers in. He crushed that team tonight. 610-632-0975. We're taking your phone calls, your thoughts, 127-124. Sixers fall. We're talking about it here until midnight. Chris, we got you first on the other side. 610-632-0975. We go in the post until midnight right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5. The Fanatic.
1128-97.5, The Fanatic in the post until midnight. I'm Devon Givens with you for another 32 minutes. Sixers fall tonight, 127-124 at home to the Brooklyn Nets. They're kryptonite, basically. The Brooklyn Nets, they're kryptonite. You heard Brett Brown doing the post game availability with the media where he just said, these guys just play us well. It's one of those things with this basketball team, the Brooklyn Nets, where they really get up for the Philadelphia 76ers, and they did again tonight, winning by three, down by as much as, how much were they up? Sixers were up by nine, Nets were up by 13, and they just had it going on in the second half, really, when the Sixers were up after the first quarter, the Nets were up 31-29. At the half, the score was 57-56 Brooklyn. And in the third quarter, the Sixers just got outscored by 9 points by Brooklyn, where Spencer Dinwiddie put up 15 points on the team. 3 of 4 from behind the 3-point line, 5 of 6 from the field overall. Nice balance by the Sixers, but it just wasn't enough. And Joe Harris, he gets involved, knocking down 2 3-pointers, 3 of 4 from the floor overall. Alan Crabb had some threes, 8 points. So they just had it going on. Overall, it was their night. The Sixers were never really able to grab hold of the game, even when they had that 9-point lead, and find a way to come away with the victory. And they struggle. They really do struggle against the Brooklyn Nets. Again, their kryptonite. 610-632-0975. We go back to the phones. We had the Chris in Williamstown joining us in the post. What's up, Chris?
Devon, you know, I'm just as depressed as you were probably after tonight's game. You know, this was a team that dominated at home, and tonight they went out there and look, to mention all the things that you've mentioned thus far. On top of that, and I don't know if I've heard it been mentioned, but when you've got Al Abdelnaby sitting there talking about the lack of communication that's going on with this team on the floor, it is utterly, it's stands out to the point that, and I told you before that this street ball mentality for me has got to go. They got to go back. They got to find a way to run more traditional sets on offense, and they got to try to find ways to.
I wouldn't say they run street ball stuff though. They do a lot of dribble handoff, a lot of movement away from the basketball, trying to hit guys on the run. So I wouldn't call it street ball. I would just say maybe be a little more creative, if you will, with how they do things offensively.
Traditional is the word for me.
There you go. Traditional is fine.
When I watch Ben Simmons, just decide to, I'm going to get a matchup and I'm going to get under the net and I'm going to call for the ball and I'm going to make.
He
the
should.
Like, you, I understand that, Devon. Like you scoring points, you're cutting to the deficit, but at the end of the day, like it doesn't move the needle. They still lost this game tonight. Even with Ben doing stuff like that, they still lost this game tonight. And you know what? When you got, and look, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just, you know, kind of maybe exaggerating this, but when you got Jimmy Butler on the bench talking during the whole game, trying to get his guys going in the right direction, like, does that not speak to the lack of talking that's going on to the on during his team?
But not only that, does it go to the coach? I would just say he's very vocal, and that's just something that he does.
But Devon, would this not go to the coach, Brett Brown? Like, I'm a Brett Brown guy. Please don't get that twisted. But in the same sense, Brett Brown needs to get these guys, you know, like, get their heads right, because all I see is a bunch of guys who are me guys. Ben Simmons, Joe, you know, too many times did Ben try to call for the ball, and then when he didn't get it, he looked like he just got his party ruined. Like, you know, too many guys on this team just egocentric, and they need to gel as more of a team.
They want the rock. I mean, they want the rock. Thanks for the call, Chris. They want the rock, just like everybody else would. I would want it. Yes, I'm a team guy. I would want it. But, I mean, listen, it's similar to when I remember when Jimmy Butler first got here and there were a few opportunities for him to take over. And we had a couple calls after the game. I believe it might have been one of the losses. It might have been a win. I don't remember what it was. But a couple callers pointed out how they wanted Jimmy Butler to be more assertive and call for that basketball. That's what you traded him here for. Everybody wants the basketball. Everyone wants an opportunity to go out there and show something on the floor to help the team win. You all want the opportunity. What are you going to do with the opportunity is the question. So, egocentric, yes. When you have stars, they are going to be that way without a doubt. And you expect them to be. You want them to be. But you also want them to be able to share the basketball when the opportunity is there, when a play is called, or if they see something themselves and they're like, oh, he's wide open. Well, he's got this mismatch. Let's go against. We had a caller earlier that said if he's working, has it going, and it keeps working, keep feeding him. Just keep feeding him. I don't disagree with that. Until they stop, you keep feeding him. I'm not worried. You're not worried about Ben Simmons getting his if Embiid is getting his. Once the double team comes, all right, Ben, here you go. Go eat. And Ben had a solid overall night, 22-8-7, 4 steals, 2 block shots, 9 of 15 from the floor, made his free throws 4 of 5. You would like to get him a little more free throw attempts, but it was good to see him shoot 4 of 5 from the free throw line. You needed more from J.J. Redick tonight, only 11 points. You missed basically because of the defense and how good Spencer Dinwiddie was, the good the team was overall. Brooklyn shooting 51% from the field, 50 from three, 86 from the free throw line, getting to the free throw line way more than the 76ers. 27 more attempts for the Brooklyn Nets over the Sixers. 25 more makes for the Brooklyn Nets over the Sixers at the charity stripe. Free! They're free! Brooklyn took advantage of him while the Sixers did not. 610-632-0975. Couple of people on Twitter jumped in. Mark with a Q. 1961. The problem against the Nets? Question mark. TJ or JJ or JoJo on the perimeter against Dinwiddie? It's barbecue chicken. And we know that's a Shaq thing. The Celtics showed the blueprint on how to beat them, take them off the dribble on the perimeter, and beat them athletically. Just a bad matchup all the way around Brooklyn against Philadelphia. At @random_rants. I've watched a couple of games of Brooklyn's. They play up to competition. They are better than their record says. No big deal. They lose. All right? That one's there. Tyler Durden, 108. Can't defend guards. Brett needs to change his defensive model. Billy Lang is the defensive coach for the 76ers. Last couple of years, he's been the offensive guy. But with the departure of Lloyd Pierce, now the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Monty Williams comes in, takes over the offense. Billy Lang takes over the defense. They like to play 4 up, switch, Embiid on the back end, take care of the paint. Make sure nothing happens down there. It's not necessarily working that way, is it? They gave up 127 to Brooklyn tonight, 39 to Spencer Dinwiddie. He got to the free throw line 14 times. Tommy underscore T underscore 256. The Nets, they get up to play the Sixers. The Sixers need to understand this and look to crush the Nets, but they don't. You come in, you underestimate a team, this is what happens. But I don't think they underestimate. I really don't. I really don't think they underestimate Brooklyn. Brooklyn just knows how to play. Kenny Atkinson has Brett Brown's number this season in terms of how he wants to play against the 76ers. At That Bull B says, Bryant says, really? This is a team the Sixers are supposed to mop the floors with. They let some guy named Dinwiddie, mop the floor with them instead, shaking my head. Spencer Dinwiddie can play. He's going to get a nice contract in the offseason. Maybe the Sixers will give him a nice contract in the offseason. Okay? Maybe. I don't know. He's a nice player, though. Really nice player. And that's just good scouting by the Brooklyn Nets, because Spencer Dinwiddie was out there for any team to have him. Nobody went after him and gave him any money. I believe he's on like a one-year deal, one of those cheap contract, two-year contracts, whatever it might be, from the Brooklyn Nets. A season ago, he played for them, played well, one of the most improved players in the league. This season, he comes back and he's better. I don't know. Those are the type of players that you want, you hope that you can evaluate. That would be, of course, Elton Brand and company being able to evaluate, see players like Spencer Dinwiddie out there and say, you know what, that's a nice one. We can come in, maybe he can give us something. It won't cost us a lot. We'll worry about a new long-term deal later on if he plays very well. Well, he's playing very well, and it's something that the Nets are going to have to look to. Caris LeVert, with his injury history, maybe they look to keep Spencer Dinwiddie at a decent number in the event that Caris LeVert is not able to stay healthy long-term. Protect themselves some insurance with another nice wing player in Spencer Dinwiddie, who's really only 6'3", but he just looks bigger out there, longer out there. Very crafty, very shifty, can get to the basket, do a lot of things, can shoot from the perimeter. He's a nice, nice player. Play some point, play some two. And in today's league, you know you can play somebody at 6'3", at the three spot, basically, even though, you know, there's a lot of positionless basketball. You can play him in different areas and have him go to work. And tonight, he certainly went to work on the 76ers again. Off the bench, 30 minutes and 28 seconds. 11 of 18 from the floor. 4 of 6 from behind the three-point line. 13 of 14 from the charity stripe. Sixers total, 12 of 16 from the free throw line. Spencer Dinwiddie got there 14 times. Also contributed 5 assists. Did have 4 turnovers. Meant nothing, though, when you hang 39 on what's supposed to be a pretty good defense in today's NBA, your Philadelphia 76ers. 610-632-0975. Our final segment coming up as we discuss the Sixers. Again, 127-124 fall defeat to the Brooklyn Nets. Now their record is at 19-10. Facing the Indiana Pacers at home, 7:30 tip on the Fanatic on Friday night. Indiana is a half a game behind the Sixers right now. They have won 5 straight. Indiana now has Victor Oladipo back. They knocked off a good Milwaukee Bucks team tonight, and I mean blew them out. They're 8-4 on the road. Got to be careful with the Indiana Pacers coming here on Friday night. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens in the post. One final segment on the Fanatic.
Devon Givens on 97.5. The Fanatic.
Brian Westbrook does not like Reese's peanut butter cups. That's a problem. You can address that with him on Twitter at 36Westbrook. Give him some trouble. We've been all going at it on Twitter, so have fun at it. We have at it. Have some fun with B West. 610-632-0975. And my man Dylan McKinnon, he's a problem as well. He doesn't like him either. Him and Brian Westbrook can stand on that island alone. Everybody else pretty much likes him. You guys are problems. Trouble. 610-632-0975. Our final segment here on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight on In the Post. And we do have to tell you about the Holiday Wheel, which is back. The Fanatic Holiday Wheel returns next week. This year, we'll be spinning the Hollywood wheel three times a day with the morning show at 9, the midday show at 1, and Mike Misnelli's show at 5. You have a chance to win amazing prizes from Steven Singer Jewelers, French Creek Outfitters, Flacco's in Conshohocken, Landis Block and Concrete, Imagine Lifestyles, Luxury Car Rentals, Ron Jaworski Golf, the Sixers and Flyers, and more. Go to the contest page on 975thefanatic.com to register now for your chance to become a Holiday Wheel contestant. Why does it have to stop at in Mike Misnelli's show? Me and Joe Torti do shows too. We have to talk about that with the people. Let's go back to the phones in the post with Charles in Blackwood on the Fanatic. Hey, Charles.
Good evening, Devon. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to express again my appreciation for your love of this game. It's very inspiring and it's a very good coping mechanism for
Thank
me.
You, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too. Sometime you got to shout out where you ball. I'd like to watch you play. ID'd the problem that I've known all along. Our guards, TJ, Shamet, they can't cover NBA guards. I think we know that now. And I'm going to take it a step further and say, I always thought that once we got a couple of the key players in place from the process, that we'd be upgrading from Brown. Because Brown, I believe, had a big part in the of responsibility in the Markelle Fultz saga. And I know, you know, there was a lot more going on, but I think, look, I would rather see Markelle Fultz in there playing on defense now than any of these guys, Shamet or TJ.
Yeah,
sorry. I appreciate their heart, TJ's heart especially, but he's not an NBA player. If I were a guard,
he's an NBA player. He's just not a 25 a night NBA player. You can give you 5 to 10, maybe 12.
5 minutes, and that's it. Because if I were an NBA guard, a scorer, or if I were a coach in the NBA, and as soon as TJ came in, guess who's coming in? My best scorer. My best scorer. And they salivate. I know they salivate when they see him in there. So come on, let's just get real. Let's upgrade a little bit. Well, I'm sorry to be so negative. I just love this team and I love this game. And God darn it, we're a couple steps away. So
for the call, Charles, the scoring overall that he gives you, that's just something that you would hope was there and available for you. So, I mean, it's what it is when it comes to Markelle Fultz. And again, TJ McConnell tonight, did give you. See, here's the problem when you talk about TJ McConnell like that. 8 of 10 tonight, 17 points for TJ, 4 assists in 28 minutes and 40 seconds. Defensively is where he got cooked a little bit. When you're out there for 28 minutes, you're going to get exposed in some way, especially if it's a loss, where tonight the exposing came on the defensive side. But listen, I get the frustration with TJ McConnell a lot in terms of understanding where people are coming from and why they think what they think, because he just doesn't look the part. Sometimes he's forced to play too many minutes, all of those things. I like TJ. TJ McConnell can play. He can play on my team any day. Sorry. Jimmy Butler talked about it when he got here. Yes, I'm sure he said it because it's his teammate now. I got it. I understand. It's like, yo, man, that dude picks you up 94 feet. That's a problem. That's annoying. I like that on my team. Dennis and Ben Salem is in the post. What's up, Dennis?
Devon, how you doing this evening, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
No, not too bad. It's going to sound odd, and I'm not sure who the blame is on here. I don't know if it's the players or the coach. The team's kind of soft. Not in the, you know, the 80s bad boys kind of soft.
Right.
Like, I mean it in the sense, any team they go up against knows they're not out of the game. They can be trailing by 20. They're never going to push. They're not going to force. They're not going to make errors because they're pushing too hard. Mm-hmm. They know no matter how big the deficit is against the Sixers, they still got a shot at coming back. Like, our boys could be up 10, 15 points. The other team knows. Oh, that's all right. They'll choke it away. I don't know if it's Brett not calling timeouts when he needs to, the players just being a little too comfortable and, you know, taking a step back. Not sure what it is, but we got to find the cure for that. That's troublesome.
Yeah, you do. And I think, though, adding someone like Jimmy Butler does help in the short sample size that we have here. They have, of course, a winning record. They play very well with him. But I think once they really, really get things going with him, we'll have a better overall outlook as to who they are and what they are with him, and then you incorporate maybe a new body later on to go. That may look, go a long way.
It'll be nice if it happens.
I agree.
I just worry that, and well, Butler's a stud, but
yes.
I don't know that one player can make the difference when it's something that's been happening since, you know, last year. This isn't something new for the team. This is an ongoing issue, but
he's not just one player. That's a really good one player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an all-star. He's a all-league defender for a reason. Dan, thanks for the call, man. Good stuff. He is that type of dude. Jake closes things down in the post tonight on the Fanatic. What's up, Jake?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Doing pretty good. See, I think everybody keeps making this point about coaching and with Brett Brown, but the biggest problem with this team, I think, is the lack of wing depth, especially on our bench. I mean, we just have guys.
That's why I always say, can't have enough wings.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way this team, this GM, I mean, even going back to Colangelo, has rounded out this roster. Like, we have an open roster spot right now that we're doing nothing with. That's how you find guys like Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yes.
You know, you go work those margins. You go find those guys like that. And look what he's turned into. I mean, he turned into a nice player. And, you know, I don't know if there's a deal to be made because I'm not paying a first-round pick for Trevor Ariza or somebody like that. That's ridiculous. But, I mean, I think you got to wait to that buyout market. I think everybody's getting a little overexcited about things and getting a little upset about things. But, I mean, we are 19-10. We got to see where things go. I mean, it's a disappointing loss, of course, but I really don't think it's a coaching. This, you know, wing depth is really killing us.
Well, and especially when you lose your best wing player in Jimmy Butler because of the strain, the groin strain, it might show in certain spots. And I guess you could say it was glaring tonight, man, and that's why they took that L overall against this Brooklyn Nets team. Listen, Jake, thanks so much, man, for closing the show down. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Dylan McKinnon for producing the show, all the calls out there, all the tweets, and a special thanks, of course, to Tyler Zuli, Brian Seltzer, and Tom McGinnis. Marty Dickinson as well on all the Sixers coverage. Tonight, we will be back. I will be back on Friday with Brian Seltzer live from the center for Sixers in 60, plus another 30 minutes because we're carrying you up to the game against the Indiana Pacers at the center. So have a good night, have a good Thursday, and I will talk to you on Friday live from the center with Brian Seltzer, Sixers in 60, right here on The Fanatic.
Devon Givens.
Give it up.
On 97.5. The Fanatic. Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.